Dear Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with the light of your word. Lead us to confess our sins and to rejoice in your gracious promise of salvation. Move us to love as we have been loved and to live as you would have us live, to the glory of your name. Amen. Welcome to all of you to our worship service today. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior King, whose kingdom we have become citizens by faith in his name. We also, of course, are also citizens of an earthly nation. And today we especially, our focus is going to be on the blessings of good government and of our encouragement in the scriptures to pray the Lord for good government as we continue our way to our heavenly kingdom with the Lord in heaven. We pray the Spirit of God be poured out upon us as we worship our Savior King in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all of your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to His will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing, we worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God, Almighty Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord. At God's right hand in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. We pray. O Lord, whose gracious presence never fails to guide and govern those whom you have nurtured in your steadfast love and worship, make us ever to revere and adore your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. Our first Bible lesson today is drawn from Paul's epistle to the Romans in the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 8, where he gives guidance and instruction in regard to, as Christian citizens, the responsibility the Lord has given to us to be good citizens and to submit ourselves to the governing authorities, inasmuch as they are given to us by the Lord for peace and safety of society, and that we might share without hindrance the good news of Christ. Romans 13, 1-8. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, Those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. So far the first lesson. We join in responsively reading portions from the 84th Psalm. How lovely is your dwelling place,
O Lord Almighty.
My soul yearns, even faints.
For the courts of the Lord.
My heart and my flesh cry out.
For the living God.
Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself. A place near your altar. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Better is one day in your courts
than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God
than to dwell in the tents of the
wicked. O Lord Almighty, our next lesson from Matthew's Gospel is an episode from Jesus' ministry in which it is pointed out how Jesus, of course, he died on the cross as our Savior to pay for all our sins, but as we talk about in confirmation class quite a lot with our young people, he did a lot before he died on the cross, and that is he kept every one of the commandments in our place. In this instance, we see how he fulfilled the fourth commandment as our Savior in making sure that he paid the government its due in taxes. Matthew 17, 22 to 27. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2-drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the sons are exempt," Jesus said to him. "But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
confession of faith this morning are the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
To him who loved us and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God and Father, to him be glory, honor, wisdom, and dominion now and forever. Amen. The word of God for meditation is found written in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 1 to 8. St. Paul writes, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good. Pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle, I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. So far the text. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, dear fellow citizens of America, dear fellow citizens of God's eternal kingdom, one of the items in the news, in addition, of course, to the pandemic that we have been experiencing and the measures that are being taken to keep people safe and healthy, is the upcoming presidential election, which is now only 4 months away. The question many Americans have on their minds is, which candidate possesses the qualifications, the energy, the political savvy and skill to lead our nation into the future? Which of them espouses programs and is running on a platform that's best for solving America's problems and helping our citizenry to rebound from the economic downturn caused by the COVID pandemic? It's, of course, not our intention, nor would it be proper for us to endorse a particular candidate or encourage you how you should vote come November 3rd, but rather, on this Independence Day holiday weekend, we want to be encouraged as Christian citizens to pray for good government, for all those who occupy positions of authority in the state, locally, statewide, and the federal government, and for countries all over the world, for that matter, so that we as Christians may lead lives to God's glory in peace and safety, and so that many more souls may learn to know God's saving truth in Jesus. Now, as children of the Heavenly Father, we of course know, very pleasing to the Lord, when we come before Him, before His throne of grace, asking Him to do things for us. Hymn writer put it very nicely when he said, you're coming to a king, large petitions with you bring, for his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. Lord our God loves it when we, with confidence born of faith, exercise the great privilege that he's given us as his children, as part of the priesthood of all believers, to storm the throne of grace in prayer. Remember how Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, ask, it'll be given you, seek, you'll find, knock, it'll be opened to you. Peter writes in his first letter, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears open to their prayers. Paul wrote in his first letter to Timothy, or no, it's in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing but by everything, with prayer and petition, let your requests be known to God. And here in our text we read, in the letter of Paul, his first letter to Timothy, I want men, people everywhere, referring to Christians everywhere, to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. And what kind of things does the Lord want us to pray about and for? In his word, he reveals to us that it's his will that we pray, of course, for especially priceless spiritual blessings like forgiveness for our sins in Jesus, strengthening for our faith, guidance for our lives as his redeemed people through the lamp of his word. He wants us to pray also for all those daily bread items that we need for our earthly lives, all those items enumerated by Martin Luther, if you know the fourth petition to the Lord's Prayer, his explanation, where Luther says, daily bread is food, clothes, money, goods, a godly spouse, devout children, good health, good weather, and things like that. But we want to especially note this morning how Paul in our text, Luther also included it in his list of things in the fourth petition, daily bread, good government, peace, law and order. Paul puts it like this in our text, I exhort that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for kings and for those in authority. So we're to pray as Christians for those who occupy positions of responsibility in the state so that they may govern a way that justice prevails, faithfully administered, law and order is upheld, and societal peace is preserved. And why did Paul write to Timothy? Encouraging him to encourage the people he served. He was a young pastor, the people in his congregation, their congregations, to pray for their government leaders. Remember, the government that was in power at the time was Rome, and the head of the state was Nero, the godless, tyrannical king who murdered his own mother, who ordered the citizens of the empire to pay homage to him as God, and who is said to have seized Christians as scapegoats for the great fire of Rome that took place in AD 64 and burned down large parts of the city of Rome. So he arrested Christians for this falsely and brutally executed them by having them crucified, thrown to the beasts, and burned alive. The point we're making is that the Christians of the first century indeed suffered terrible things at the hands of the secular rulers who were in power, and we can see, therefore, why Paul encouraged them to pray that those in authority might govern in a way so that they could lead Christian lives in peace and in safety. And what about us today? It's important, too, that we include that item among the things we ask the Lord to give us as part of our daily bread. We are not faced with the same kinds of persecution that the early Christians faced. The First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution guarantees that Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion. So we don't have to be afraid of being hauled off to prison or thrown into a stadium filled with man-eating lions. We are indeed faced with persecutions of a different kind, of more subtle form, maybe not so subtle now these days. Consider the internet and YouTube videos that promote godless ideas that contradict the Bible and that are indoctrinating, the devil using it to indoctrinate the minds and hearts of citizens that the Bible is an obsolete book, faulty, unreliable, for getting guidance with regard to religious truth. Those in the academic community, university professors, many of them, doctors of science, history, biology, anthropology, sociology, archaeology, and many other ologies in the public education system of our land who are advocating and are proponents of the theory of evolution, that we human beings are descendants of apes, accidents of nature. Sadly, also, many in the religious community who, on the basis of so-called critical scholarship, reject the divine authority of the Bible. And even the trend is in the Lutheran Church. In fact, it's been that way for quite a long time already. To move the laity away from the historic Lutheran faith based on the sacred scriptures into a new way of modern, progressive thinking that the Bible contains myths, that Jesus is not the one and only way to heaven. And it doesn't really matter what belief system you adopt, so long as your beliefs are sincere. And then in the end, all will be well with you. What are they saying except that those who hold to the doctrines of Holy Scripture, the Bible as their lamp and light for their path, are fools? It's a form of persecution. It's true our government hasn't taken an official stand against the Christian religion as Rome did in Paul's day. As mentioned, our U.S. Constitution guarantees us the right to believe as we please and assemble here for worship at church, but it's getting harder, isn't it, to be a Bible-believing, Christ-confessing Christian who trusts Jesus as our one Redeemer from sin and death, who considers Scripture the authoritative guide in matters of faith and life. Believe that the Bible says what marriage is, what constitutes marriage, the lifelong union of one man and one woman living together as husband and wife, and that all human life is sacred, including the life of the unborn. The ideas of godless people who have fashioned a God according to how they would like him to be are being weaved more and more into the fabric of our society, and those committed to the Bible and to Christ as their Savior are viewed more and more, as in the days of Nero, as hateful people and as a blight on the society instead of, as Jesus says, as the salt and the light of the world. So we can see, can't we, dear friends, why it's very important for us to pray for our country and for our government leaders that they may be elected into office under God's guidance, who have good and wholesome ideas for governing, that we may believe and worship the Lord as we please and live our lives in peace and safety according to God's will as revealed in the sacred scriptures. And to what end? We want to note in the second place the wonderful overarching purpose and reason why Paul encourages us to pray for good government. Not as an end in itself, not simply so that we may be blessed with a comfortable life here on earth, trouble-free, no conflicts, no looting, no arson, no coarse outbreaks of violence on our streets for a few years, but for this main purpose, As Paul says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for us all. In other words, so that the precious gospel might be spread unhindered for the eternal blessing of souls. Where a government is corrupt, where disciples of Jesus are under threat of persecution, they can't spread the gospel as easily as they otherwise might. Christians in the days of Paul, you probably know from church history, they had to worship in secret. They had to hold their church services in catacombs, underground passageways, cemeteries, so the general public, and so that especially the Roman authorities would not be aware of what they were doing. It's at this time, as I understand it, they also then created an acrostic from the letters of the Greek word for fish, ichthys. You've probably heard that story from history. The Greek word for ichthys, the letters, you can use them to symbolize Jesus Christos Theou Huias Soter, the letters of the Greek word for fish, meaning in English, Jesus Christ, Son of God, the Savior. And they use that fish symbol to identify one another in a secret way as a kind of password so as not to arouse suspicion among their friends and neighbors who might report them to the Roman government. I also was reading last week about how they, one of the things that they did was if they met a stranger, they would draw the top of the fish in an arc. And if they didn't know what you were doing, you know they didn't believe in Jesus. But if they put like that, that's a Christian. I'm safe. We can visit together. Now, the word of the Lord did grow mightily, and it did prevail under the Spirit's blessing, as we learn from the book of Acts, but it was hard. And that's why Paul encouraged them to pray for the secular authorities so that the gospel might have free course, that nothing would hinder it from being preached for the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, the Christians, and that many others might also be blessed to hear it, believe, and be saved. So let us then remember to include our government in our regular prayers to the Lord, in our daily petitions. Let's ask the Lord to guide and bless those elected to positions of power in our land and elsewhere, so that they may govern in wisdom and righteousness according to God's holy will, so that we may live Christian lives without fear, and that many through our gospel witness, serving as a salt and as a light in the world, many more may come to know the truth that makes them really free in pardon for their sins in Christ, in knowing that their sins are forgiven, they have peace with God, and they have as an inheritance eternal life with their Lord when they reach finally the heavenly country, the heavenly homeland with Him above. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy
So you may remain standing for prayer. As you probably are aware, the offering plate is in the entryway. If you have a gift to give to the Lord, you may drop it in there. But we offer a prayer and also a special petition on behalf of our government. Heavenly Father, as we pause this July 4th weekend to commemorate the independence of our nation, the United States of America, we think about the numerous blessings of your undeserved love which you have given to us as United States citizens. Forgive our many complaints and our negligence in asking your blessings upon our country and its leaders. Continue to allow us peace and to bless all honest endeavors. Do not let our wonderful freedoms be abused or curtailed. Let justice and righteousness prevail. Place loyalty into the hearts of our citizenry so that all may take an active role to do away with wrong and to foster what is right. Above all, preserve our freedom to worship and praise you, our merciful Savior God, and to share your saving truth in Jesus with others. Bless our land for Jesus' sake. Amen. O God, King eternal, our light and salvation, we, your redeemed children, seek you now in prayer. We ask you to rest your hand in benediction upon us. Bless us, Lord, with such faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may believe in him with all our hearts, and trusting alone in his merits, may have the assurance of everlasting life. Grant us grace to bring forth the fruits of faith in our lives for your greater glory. Keep us ever within your care. Defend us in all times of danger and save us in every peril. Keep us safe from earthquake and storm, from hatred and war, from tyranny and persecution, from famine and disease, and from corruption and rebellion. Be gracious to all our families, that our children may grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Give your Holy Spirit to the fathers, mothers, and children among us, so that all may be equipped with greater knowledge of your word and live in grateful obedience to it. All these requests we bring to you, Lord, we ask for them not on the basis of our own worthiness, but rather on the basis of Christ's perfect life and sacrificial death in our place. In his name we pray. Amen. We also join in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The next hymn. The liturgy continues on page 17. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. It is right and beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Of God, O Christ our Lord, whose blood once shed, true life restored, impart your joy, our faith increase, sustain with your mercy, and grant us your peace.
Our communicants may now come forward with social distancing as the usher directs.
Thank you.
Our service concludes beginning on the top of page 20.
O Lord, now let your servant depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace. A light to lead the Gentiles unto your holy hill. The glory of your people, your chosen Israel. All glory to the Father, all glory to the Son, all glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning is now, shall ever be, God's triune name resounding through all eternity.
Go in peace and serve the Lord with gladness.
My heart has now become your dwelling, O blessed Holy Trinity. With angels I your praises telling shall live in joy eternally. Lord, may your body and your blood be for my soul the highest good.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for the last hymn.